Our great God and Father in heaven, we thank you for all that you do. We thank you for the opportunities that you give to us. And Lord, as we come before you now in message, as we've come before you in song and in baptism, Lord, we know that you are definitely God, and you are definitely moving. And it is only by your power and your might that we are able to do anything that we can do. And Lord, we ask that you would just continue to work in each and every one of our lives, that you would speak to us in this message, that you would speak to us in the songs that we've sang, Jesus, you did save us. And that we have a good news to tell. And Lord, may we tell that good news to all the land. May all that hear your message, Lord, be pricked as we find in the book of Acts, as your message was spoken. The word says that the men said to Paul and to the disciples, what do we do? What do we do with this good news? And how do we respond to that good news? Lord, may God, may you just show us how to respond to the good news of your word. Lord, I ask that you would encourage us now and that you would hide me behind your cross as we come before you, as we look at how you empower us, how you continually motivate us and encourage us, even in our weakest and darkest times and in our darkest hours, how you give us encouragement and strength and how you move us. Lord, many times I know that even in my life I have failed to tap into that power that already resides inside of me. The power of your Holy Spirit, that indwelling that is there, and may you show us this morning how we need to, we must, we cannot fail to tap into that power, because by our strength we are nothing, but by your power and your might we are everything. We thank you and praise you in your great precious name. Amen. You'll open your Bibles to the book of Colossians. Book of Colossians, this is the final message that I have prepared for you in the sermon series we've been preaching through over the last few months entitled, Christ is All You Need. The title of today's message is, You Are Empowered Through Christ. We have been talking about and looking at how through Christ we are secure by Him, how we can be filled by Him, how we are free in Him. And today we're going to talk about how we are empowered by Him and through Him. You know, we can all look in our life, and we talked about it even this morning as we went through everything that we do and all of the things of life that go on. We have issues that arise in our life. We have circumstances that affect who we are and how great and mighty we can be. We can't get by from day to day sometimes without illnesses and creeping in. We talked about it this morning. There's so many people that we know of that have cancer and those kind of issues and other things going on in their life that have broken ankles and knee replacements and bad backs and just ailments and all of those things going on. It's hard for us to really get a grasp on what God wants us to do. And by our own strength, we fail. You cannot do much to encourage or strengthen yourself, but we find in the Bible that God has empowered us, He has indwelled us, and He has given us strength to stand, to do what He wants us to do. In 2 Corinthians, and I know this isn't the scripture I gave you, but I just want to put this out there for you to give you some context to what we're going to talk about this morning. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, out of the Holman, it says, But he said unto me, that's Paul speaking, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Now let me explain that to you for just one second. Paul was coming before God. He was coming before Him and saying, Look, I've got this issue. I've got this infirmity. I've got this affliction. The word Paul uses is thorn in my flesh. That is preventing me, he said, from doing what I want to do and to serve you the way I want to serve you. And he sees this. God speaks to him and says, My grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness, he says in verse 10, Therefore I am most gladly boast and all more about my weakness, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weakness, insult, catastrophe, persecutions, and in pressures because of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul talks about the weakness of his life, and we can all relate to that. We all have a weakness in our life. We all have issues in our life that prevents us from doing what we really would like to do. From being somebody better in our eyes, or somebody who is more capable of doing something else. But by God's grace, listen to these words. I want to reiterate them to you so that you fully understand the scope of where Paul's coming from here. He says, "My grace, God's grace, Jesus Christ's grace is sufficient for you. It is enough. It suffices you." It is a word that is in the Greek language, talks about a present action. It's ongoing. You can be encouraged by what God is doing in you. His grace is sufficient. You don't need anything else. So many times we think we need this, this, and this, and this, and this to move forward for God, and all we need is God. Amen. We need Him in our life. We need to let Him be in control. I was talking with the children this morning, and I mentioned that about control, and I said, what does it mean when God's in control of your life? And that's what they said, out of the mouth of babes. He tells you to do, and you just do it.
All right.
That's right. That's what you said. He said, His grace is sufficient for you. It's ongoing. It's happening now. It's because of God. That His grace is enough because the power is perfected, or it's matured in weakness. This word power, we find this actually many times in the New Testament, but this word power that we find here in 2 Corinthians is the word power in the Greek. It's the same word we get our word dynamite from. And we all know that dynamite has a lot of power. Matter of fact, when they talk about power in explosives, they refer to it in dynamite language, basically. Now, I can't iterate that for you, but they talk about megatons and kilotons and all of those things. That's in relationship to one stick of dynamite, and if you put X amount of sticks of dynamite together, you get this kind of explosion. Well, I got news for you. God took all of His power and all of His might, and He put it into you. So that in your weakness, His power can shine. An explosive power that is perfected or matured as we walk through Christ. Look, weakness is not a weakness. You may say, well, that's ridiculous. But I want you to understand, weakness is not a weakness when you have strength in God. When you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, weakness is not weakness. You can have power and success through Christ. His strength is not your strength is not enough without Christ involved in it. Paul discovered that. That's what he was writing about in 2 Corinthians. He also wrote about it in Philippians 4:13 when he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Many of us quote that scripture. We talk about that and how we can have power through Christ. But do we truly fully understand what that means? It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to live it. It's one thing to walk around quoting Philippians, and then it's another thing to live what Paul wrote in Corinthians. Because when weaknesses come, and difficulties come, and trials come, and temptations come, and issues come in your life, we have a very hard time sometimes focusing to God. Sometimes we even get down. We need to remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace, His grace, God's grace is sufficient. His power is perfected in your weakness. Christ is all you need. And this morning I want to show you in Colossians. We're going to look at the book of Colossians this morning. And I want to show you in this book how you are empowered by Christ. You are empowered through Christ. If you'll look with me at Colossians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it says this: "For the hope which is laid up in you in heaven, thereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, bringing forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard it and knew the grace of God in truth." I want you to understand in this passage of Scripture that we find that you are empowered to bear fruit through Christ. You are given a commandment. We all understand the Great Commission. The Great Commission, or we've heard it at least. The Great Commission says, "Go ye into all the world, preaching, teaching, and baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all the things I've commanded you. Lo, where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus says that we need to go out and to teach. Paul says that we have the good news of the gospel, and that good news of the gospel will bear fruit. How does it bear fruit? Because you have been empowered by Christ to do so.
Without God, there is no ability for you to talk to anybody about Him. Oh, you can go and stammer around and you can do all kinds of things, but in the power of Christ, you can do it. Paul says here that the gospel will bear fruit. Listen, sometimes we don't understand what these things are, so I'm just going to lay you out, because in order for you to understand how you can live your life empowered by Christ, you need to understand the truth of the Word of God. And the truth of the Word of God is that the gospel is true and that the gospel is good news. What is the gospel? The gospel is the life story of Jesus Christ. The gospel is Jesus came and died upon the cross. The gospel is that He was buried and he was in the grave for 3 days. The gospel is that He's no longer there. He is alive sitting at the right hand of the Father. The good news is that He has conquered death and victory. The good news is that He has given us eternal life. The good news is that He has gone to prepare a place for you and He will come again. The good news is that what Jesus said is true and it will be happening. We should be excited to tell that good news. We should be ecstatic to tell people about the good news, about the gospel. We need to remember the words of Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where he said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is a power unto salvation, unto the Jews first and then to the Greeks." We need to have power. We have been empowered to bear fruit. We need to understand that it is only through Christ that we can do those things. He has given you a boldness to speak the gospel. He has given you a boldness to talk. And when you think you are weak, you just need to reach out to Him and tap into that power that He's already given to you. We talked about this the other night in Bible study on Thursday night as we're moving through 1 Corinthians. And we talked about the Holy Spirit and the gifts that are given. And we talked about that there's only one Holy Spirit, one God, one Lord. And that the Holy Spirit gives gifts to each of us so that we can come together. We haven't got to this part, but in chapter 12, Paul says, so that we can come together to serve God and to do what God wants us to do. Now, there's a few gifts, though, that are not just doled out to one or two people, but is already given to all of us. One of those gifts is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not the responsibility of just one or two or five or six people. It is the responsibility of every Christian who has been empowered by the power of God to spread the good news. And when you spread the good news, you will bear fruit. Remember these words in John chapter 15. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and I in you, you will produce fruit." You will produce fruit. Why can He say that? He can say that because He is indwelling you. He has empowered you. He is encouraging you to go and to do. To plant the seed. To come along and water. So that then God can come along and nurture and mature that and bring that one into the fold. And sometimes we don't even know it happens, in the case of what we just saw this morning. We didn't realize the seed we were already planting or the watering that was already being done, but God saw the increase. And we get to partake of that. Paul uses this phrase here in verses 5 and 6 when he talks here in verse 6. He says, "Bring forth fruit that it can grow." He's tying together what Jesus talked about in the parables in Mark chapter 4 when Mark was talking about Jesus had the parable about the sower. And the seed. And how God's power works through all of that. And how God's power changes people's lives. Folks, you need to understand something. It is not by your power, by your might, that anybody's life gets changed. But it is by your power and your might that they get to see the example of who Jesus Christ is. It is by how we live our life. It's by how we walk. It's by how we talk. It's by how we act. And all of those things influence people to see the gospel message. We speak more gospel message in just what we do than we do when we talk. Amen. And if we are in Christ and He is in us, then we will bear fruit. And it's not just here, but it's around the world. Look what Paul says here. He says, it is in all the world bringing forth fruit. The gospel is everywhere. You know, it's interesting. I don't know the statistical numbers, but I've heard this conversation taking place. And you may not want to believe this, and I have a hard time believing this as well. But
Around the world, people are coming to Christ by the thousands. But in the United States of America, that's not so. That's not so. I heard a statement the other day from the president of Kenya. This happened last year, where he said, "We are a Christian nation." That's Kenya, Africa. Yet in this country, we can't hardly even say that. We don't even hardly say that a lot from the pulpit, let alone from our government. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been empowered by God to do what God wants us to do. We've been empowered to bear fruit. We've been empowered to go forth. We've been empowered to teach other people about Jesus Christ. Will we obey the commandments of the Word, or are we going to just be stuck in what we think we can do and not be stuck in what we know He can do? Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verses 4 and 5, He says, "Remain in me and I in you, just as the branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine. So neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you do nothing without me." You cannot survive without the vine. Can't happen. I could give you lots of illustrations. All of you in here plant gardens or have planted gardens from time to time or grow crops or whatever. Look, without that vine, what good? Without that stalk, what good is everything else? Nothing. It dies. It withers. It goes away. But if you have the stalk and if it's healthy and it's growing, if the vine is healthy and it's growing, then the branches that come off of that are healthy and growing. And guess what? They produce fruit. We must abide in Christ and He in us. It is Christ who empowers you to bear fruit. As you abide in Him, you will bear fruit through Him. So the first thing we see that we are empowered to bear fruit in Christ or through Christ. Secondly, you are empowered for challenges through Christ. You can handle circumstances in life. Look with me in 1 Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. It's not 1 Colossians because there's only one Colossians, sorry. It's Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. It says, "Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." The word "strengthened" here is a continuous action. It's ongoing. It's always taking place. Think about another letter that Paul wrote. He wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. He said, "Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by His vast strength," or His power. Be focused in what God has for you in your life. How do you handle challenges? Do you handle challenges by yourself? Do you handle challenges with other human beings? Or do you handle challenges with God as the focus of the challenge? Do you stand before Him and say, "Lord, I have this issue, I have this problem, I have this circumstance, I have this thing going on, and I can't do anything without You"? See, that's what Paul was saying when we read in 2 Corinthians when he was saying, "Lord, take this thorn out of my flesh." God gave him this great statement, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is greatened by your weakness." And Paul realized that he can't do anything by himself, but through Christ who strengthens him. He continually strengthens us and encourages us. Look at what it says here in the measure of His strength. By His glorious strengthened with all might, according to what? His glorious power. Notice that God doesn't say that we are strengthened by our strength. We aren't strengthened by somebody else's strength. We aren't strengthened by the strongest man in the world's strength. We ain't strengthened by our knowledge. We ain't strengthened by our intelligence. We ain't strengthened by our good looks. We ain't strengthened by our wife's good looks, or our spouse's good looks, our husband's good looks, or our children's knowledge. We're not strengthened by any of that stuff. The Word of God says that we are what? Strengthened according to His glorious power. We are strengthened by the power of God. What does that mean? God's power is unlimited. Unlimited. God's power is enormous. You can't attach its infinity upon infinity upon infinity.
The God who spoke the universe into existence has got to have some power. The God who looked down into the dust and out of the clay of the ground made us. The God who in His wisdom made us in His own image. The God who breathed life into us and gave us the ability to understand who He is. The God who does all of these things, who helps us through all the circumstances. And I'm telling you, if we would just stand up and praise God, we would be amazed at what God's doing for us in our life. Sometimes we walk through life and we just miss all of the wonderful things God is doing. We chalk them up to that's the way life is, or circumstances or situations or issues, and we just move on and we forget to give God glory and praise in those places. See, we've all experienced life. We've all experienced the death of a loved one or a lost job or maybe divorce or a major illness, financial problems. We've all experienced some type of tragedy, circumstance in our life. We're all going through some kind of issues. Some of us may be in much stricter or more devastating issues than others, but we are all going through some kind of issue. The question is, who do you look to help you deal with that? Who do you look to? I was watching a CSI last night. We like CSI, or not CSI, Criminal Minds. And we were watching Criminal Minds, and the episode, this lady was having a struggle. It was a war between her family and another family, and they showed her praying in her bed. And she said, I'm not looking for the God of love, and I'm not looking for the God of graciousness, and I'm not looking for the God of kindness. I'm looking for the God of vengeance, and I'm looking for the God of justice, and I'm looking for the God who's going to come down and strike my enemies down. Now you may say, well, that's not really the way we ought to pray, but my point on that is that there was a crying out to God, a searching for God, a looking for a God to handle the circumstances and the situation. Do we come before God in earnest prayer? Many times when the circumstances arise, we don't even take it to God in prayer. We try to handle it on our own, and we stumble and we fall. See, Paul tells us right here in verse 11 that we are strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You need to remember that as a Christian, you are never alone. I've heard lots of Christians say that. I just feel so alone. Folks, I want you to understand something. You are not alone. If you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've accepted Him, if you have walked and said, I want Him in my life, He is in your life, you are never alone. You need to take the words of that God spoke to Joshua that said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and you need to apply those to your life. I know that's Old Testament, but that's okay because they're still true. See, Christ is with you and in you. He's the one that gives you strength, and His strength is unlimited, and He will continue to strengthen you according to His power and His might and His gloriousness. One of my favorite passages of scriptures, one scripture is becoming one of my favorite passages of scriptures, is Psalms 121 verses 1 and 2. This is from the Homans. It says, I lift up my eyes towards the mountains, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heaven and the earth. Maybe instead of us looking down with sadness in our heart, maybe we should look up and just cry out to God. From whence comes our help and our strength? In our might. The word endure here tells us that we need to be patient in all circumstances. And the word patient tells us we need to have long suffering with people. Paul is saying that in every circumstance there's going to be a way to handle that, a way to deal with that. And how do we do it? It's funny that as we go through life, and I've had it happen to me many times, and when you get tired, you get cranky. Anybody ever get there? I'll raise your hand, but I'm sure we're all there sometime. Or if stress comes in our life, it changes the way we respond to other people. And if we would just learn to take those things to God, if we would just learn to lay them at His feet, if we would just learn to look to Him from whence comes our help, we would be able to deal with those things in a much better circumstance, a much better way, a much better issue would come out of that. That's what Paul is saying here when he says that we need to have patience and long suffering, or that we need to endure. So what kind of challenges are you facing today? What circumstances are overwhelming you? Does the bad news keep piling up on you? You need to be encouraged that God gives you the strength to endure all the difficult situations. Look, if you don't remember any other verse in the Bible, I want to highly encourage you to remember 1 Corinthians 10:13. And I'll paraphrase it for you like this. It says that nothing comes to you that's not already happened to other people. This is my version, by the way. You can go look it up in the King James or whatever Bible you have. But 1 Corinthians 10:13. Nothing comes unto you that hasn't happened to all other people, but God is willing to take you through the circumstance and issue. If you will seek Him, He will always give you a way out, and it's always through Him. And any time you try to handle that circumstance or situation on your own, it all never works out. Never works out. We're challenged by family, we're challenged by co-workers, we're challenged by the neighbors, but you need to be encouraged. Because God gives us patience to endure difficult people. Boy, difficult people are the hardest, aren't they? Isn't it hard to handle difficult people? People that you just can't get along with? But God can give us the endurance to handle them. Listen to the words of James in James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. In verse 2 it says, count it all joy when you fall into different kinds of trials and tribulations. And in verse 3 says, knowing this, knowing that when you fall into different kinds of situations in your life, know this, that it works as patience in your life, but let patience have her perfect works or mature in your life, that ye may be perfect and entirely wanting nothing. When you go through life and circumstances and situations arise, when you trust in God, it will help you to be able to trust in God even more. That when the greater things come, when the greater circumstances arise, those circumstances that we can't even put in 1 Corinthians 10:13, when those come, you can stand here and say, I'm trusting you, God. You know what? My house just burned down, but I'm trusting in you. You know what, God? My car just broke down on the side of the road, but I'm trusting in you to help me through this. I know that I just lost my job. I know I just found out I had cancer. I know I just found this, or I just heard this, or I can trust in you because Christ empowers us to deal with the challenges of life. And that's the only way we can deal with the challenges of life is through Christ. And so not only has He empowered us to bear fruit, but He's empowered us to deal with the challenges of life through Himself, but He has also empowered us for mission through Christ. I'll tell you, this is one of the things I've struggled with this a lot in my life. Going out and talking to people about Jesus Christ, just spreading the good news wherever you go. And I'm not talking about going door to door. I'm talking about wherever you go. When you're standing in line at a grocery store and you start chatting it up with somebody, do you talk to them about Jesus? What's your conversation like? It's difficult for us to do that. We say, well, you know, I don't want to intrude on people. And I get all that. I have had all those excuses myself. I'm not telling you anything. You're not hearing anything from me that I've not used myself. But I want you to understand something. I think what happens in our life, though, is we get tired. Because when you were first a Christian, you couldn't stop telling people about it. So what's changed in your life? I think what's changed, and I know what's changed in my life, and it's moving back in the other direction, which is awesome. By the power of God, it can do that. But I think what's changed in our life, in many cases, is we've gotten tired. We've gotten worn down, and we've gotten disappointed and distraught because we've told people that nobody accepts, and it's just, I'm just so tired. I'm tired of hearing no. I'm tired of knocking on the door, and the person comes to the door and just slams it in my face. I'm tired. I'm just tired. But I want you to understand something, that when we tap into the power of God, when we tap into the power that He has inside of us, when we understand that we are empowered to do missions through Christ, you will never get tired, you'll never get disappointed, and you'll never get disgusted. You will always move forward for Him because you know that as long as you're doing what He's asked you to do, you're on the right path. Jesus revealed how we do that by abiding in Him. I know that sounds like a broken record, but listen, I think we need to hear it. I need to hear it. Abide in Him. Don't abide in television. Don't abide in the good books. Don't abide in the great commentaries or great religious materials or your religious television or friends or all of these things. Abide in Christ. And if we would abide in Christ, we would find that He would give us strength. That He would encourage us to be able to go out and to do whatever He's asked us to do. And look, I don't know what He's speaking to you about doing. I don't know if He's telling you need to knock on your neighbor's door. I don't know if He's telling you you need to talk to your coworker. I don't have any idea what He's telling you to do. But I want you to understand something. You can be encouraged to know that you are empowered to do mission through Christ because He is the one that's living inside of you. And He's the one that gives you the strength to do what He does and what you do. And so you've been empowered to bear fruit by God. You've been empowered to handle challenges. Now, as you abide in Him, you are empowered to do missions. And finally, you are empowered to live a righteous life. You know, one of the great things that Paul did in the prison letters, which are Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, Paul wrote in those epistles when he was in prison. Usually in the beginning, the first couple chapters, he would tell you about what you should be doing, and then he encourages you how to do it. He encourages you how to move forward. And in Colossians is no different. In the first two chapters, he talked about the issues, the circumstances, the things going on in people's lives that were messing their lives up. And then in chapter 3 and 4, he talks about how to live that empowered life, or how to live that righteous life through Christ. We spent some time as we were going through what a disciple looked like in Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 17. And I want you to look over here in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9 with me. To know, you need to know that you can discover who God really is. You can stand for Him. You can understand that you have been freed from a life of tyranny, a life of slavery and sin. Paul told us in Romans chapter 6, verse 18, you are now free from slavery to sin, and you become slave to righteous living. In other words, you have been set free from the ways of the world, and now you are free to do what God has told you to do. You are in Him and through Him. Not by yourself. And apart from Christ, you are stuck in sin. Apart from Christ, you have no power. But through Christ, He gives us the desire to do the things that we can't always do, the things that we don't want to do sometimes. I love that statement that Paul has. I believe it's in 2 Corinthians, where he says, the things I want to do, I can't do, and the things I can't do, I should do. And in that whole confusing, see, you read that, and you're like, huh? And it just reminds me of how in life we want to do this and this, but we understand it is difficult sometimes to do it. Our flesh gets in the way of those things. And Paul was crying out saying, I want to do what you want me to do, God. I want to be the way you want me to be. I want to live a righteous life. I want to be free. I want to be free from lust and greed and jealousy and lying and adultery and pride and anger and all these kind of things. I want to be free of all the things of the world that doesn't reflect you. I want to reject those things that I want to come to you. And Christ has given us the ability to do that. He has empowered us to do that. So you need to remember Philippians 2:13. It says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. And when we understand that it is God that gives us the power to do what pleases Him, then we can look at verses 5 through 11 of Colossians chapter 3, which says this: mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, affliction, evil communications, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God comes to the children of disobedience, in the which ye also sometimes walked when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off these things: anger, malice, wrath, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and having put on the new man, which is a renewness in the knowledge after the image of Him that created him. There was neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Look, Christ has given us the ability to walk away from all of that stuff. Paul says we need to mortify. We need to put to death. That's what the word mortify. Put to death. Do away with those things. Christ has already set us free. And when we stick into those things, we're saying, well, God, I believe that You've given me some freedom, but not all freedom. And Paul clearly tells us in verse 11 that in Christ we have all freedom. We have all freedom. We have freedom to stand up and say, I don't need to do that anymore. We have freedom to come before God. We have freedom to stand in His presence. You know, Paul doesn't just say, get rid of all these things. He talks about things we need to take into our life. In verse 12, he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against anyone, As Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which ye are also called in one body. Be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. See, we can deal with life. We mortify the bad stuff. We take into the good stuff. We come and be like Christ. And if you really were to sit down and study these things, you'll find that most of these things are the characteristics of God. The way God reflects and what Jesus did. And He wants us to be like Him. This is why Peter tells us to be holy, for I am holy. Peter wasn't saying that. God was saying, be holy, for I am holy. See, your desires can come true by being empowered in Christ. You can have the power to overcome all of these circumstances when you lay it in His feet. When you give it to Him and say, I have no strength in myself, but I know that I have all strength through you. Jesus made this wonderful statement in Luke chapter 18, verse 27, what is impossible with men is possible with God. And so when you say to yourself, I can't do that, you need to say, God can help me do that. When we look at life and say, I can't talk to my neighbors, we can say, but God can talk to my neighbors through me. When we say that I can't do this service, or I can't do this, or be committed to that, or I can't, whatever it is, when you start using the word I can't, you need to remember that the backside of that statement is, but God can do it. Because He is the one that gives you the power. He is the one that gives you the strength. And it is because of Him that we can deal with every challenge and every circumstance that arises in our life. And that we can submit to all the things that God wants us to do. In verse 18 through chapter 4, verse 6, we find these things. I'm not going to take the time to read that passage of Scripture to you, but I'd encourage you. But you're going to find these things that God will help us have control over. Help us if we will submit to Him. He will control husbands and wives, children and parents, slaves and owners, righteousness and fairness, prayer, alertness and thanksgiving, wisdom with outsiders, how to deal with people, making the most of your time, how to speak properly, always ready to give an answer. You know, the Bible tells us that we should be ready to give an answer to the hope that we have in us. As Christians, we should be ready when people come up and say, why are you so happy? We can say, because of Jesus Christ in my life. Because of what He's done for me. And what sometimes we forget is we say, well, my testimony isn't as great as the guy I heard that got saved out of drugs, sex, rock and roll, and all that stuff. They were in prison for 10 years and God changed them. And look at them today. And my life isn't like that. But let me tell you something. You have all been saved from the exact same thing. And that's the destination of hell. And no matter what you may think and no matter where you may stand, no matter what thought may be running through your mind, you need to understand your testimony is just as important as anyone else's. And the testimony is what God has done for you in your life since you came to Him in Christ. And believe me, we all have a testimony. And we all have something that we can say about what God's done for us in our life. He can help us to handle every situation and every circumstance. He is the strength and He is good enough for that. So here's my question for you this morning. Are you tired and worn out? Are you exhausted? Are you at your, what we would say in our language today, are you at your rope's end? Are you at your wit's end? Can you not figure out how to deal with a circumstance or a situation? Are you trying to do this on your own? I want to encourage you to turn to Jesus. To turn to Jesus. Turn your eyes to Him. The psalmist says, I lift my eyes unto the heaven. From whence cometh my strength? You know, it's funny that you read through the Psalms. You'll read that statement many times in the Psalms. David understood that. David, a man who is called after God's own heart, not because of how greatly righteous he was, but because he continually sought God. Because David was wicked sometimes. He did some terrible things. Things that we would look at today and say, there's no way God could do anything with you. But yet God moved him and elevated him to a point that as you read through the Bible, you'll find this statement, this king was so and so, he was after the heart of David. That means he followed God just like his father David did. And when they said he didn't do what David did, you know he was in trouble. Are we willing to turn our eyes upon Jesus? Are we willing to look to him? Are we willing to understand that he has empowered you to live righteously? He has broken your bonds and shackles and all of that. He has set you free from sin. Will you live a righteous life in him? Will you understand that you are empowered through him? And that you can deal with every circumstance and every struggle and every issue? Folks, you don't need to carry that with you anymore. There are many, many Christians, and maybe there are some of you here this morning, who are walking around with baggage that you don't need. Baggage that you have no business carrying. Some of you may be walking around with the baggage of you're still a sinner and without Jesus Christ. You've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior. You're still walking around with that baggage. And let me tell you, that's the only baggage you need to be concerned about at this moment. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your destination is clear. It's straight to hell. If you died this moment, that's where you would be. There's no second chances. There's no third chances. Nobody can pray you out of that. If you don't say, Jesus, I want you in my life, the moment you die, that's it. You're done. The Bible is clear that if we come and call out to God, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved, the Bible says. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13, will be saved. But then there's those of us here this morning who are carrying around luggage. You're not on any trip other than the trip of life. And yet, you're carrying baggage with you that you don't need. You're carrying baggage that Jesus said, I paid the price for. You're carrying baggage that he's empowered you to get rid of. Why are we carrying that baggage? Jesus has empowered us to bear fruit. He's empowered us to deal with all the challenges of life. He's empowered us to do mission and to go out and to evangelize, and he has definitely empowered us to live a righteous life. Listen to me, you can't live a righteous life if you're going to carry baggage around. Maybe the baggage you're carrying around this morning is you're mad with somebody. How do you be mad with them? Maybe you're carrying around baggage that's just a job issue. Maybe you're carrying around baggage of a family issue. Maybe I don't know what your baggage is, but if you're carrying around baggage, how in the world can you see the power that God has in you as long as you have that baggage strapped? Jesus said, come, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. Take my yoke and my burden, because it is light and easy. Give me all yours, and I will carry it. He has taken it to the cross for you. He's taken it to the cross for you. Our great God and Father, we thank you this morning for this message, for how you have empowered us, for how you have encouraged us and strengthened us. Lord, my prayer now is that there be any here this morning that doesn't know you. And I know that there are some here that don't know you. That there are some that are struggling with that issue. They're thinking in their mind as the devil is just riddling them with all kinds of lies that if I accept Christ, I have to obey all these rules and I have to do da-da-da, whatever. And the fact of the matter is that you have set us free. It doesn't mean that we're free to just do whatever we want, but we are free because now we can serve a risen Lord. And then we know we have a hope. We have a lively hope, the Bible tells us. We have no hope without you. Lord, there are many of us that are walking around this morning carrying baggage. We are burdened down by all kinds of things. Most of it we have created ourselves. Some of it you have placed upon us to draw us closer to you, but yet we have walked away. We have not looked to you for where our strength and help comes from. And Lord, today may be the day that we turn back to you. May today be the day that we say, I no longer am going to carry this baggage. I'm going to drop it here this morning. I'm leaving it here.
never to come back and pick it up, never to come back with a clean check, never to see it again, because I have given it to the Almighty God who has empowered me to deal with all of those circumstances and challenges. Lord, may we stand true to you, for you and in you. In your very precious name, amen.